I'm glad that we can live on the hallelujah side. We don't have to live in despair and down in the dumps. We can live in the joys of the Lord, knowing all the things that we know from His Word, of how that He cares for us and watches over us. And thank God for His love to us. If you would this morning, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I have struggled over where to start reading, where to stop reading. Probably should read the entire chapter. But I'm going to begin in verse number 15, and we'll read down through verse number 26, the last verse of the chapter. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and we'll begin verse number 15, a very familiar verse. As we start out our reading, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is passed already, and overthrew the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." These are words of the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to a young preacher named Timothy. The book of 1 and 2 Timothy gives many instructions to this young preacher as for him to be able to minister and to do the things that need to be done. Paul even calls Timothy his son in the ministry, his son in the gospel. He's that one that has been following after Paul and probably saved in the ministry of Paul, and at least he has been founded and grounded in the work of the Lord by the work of Paul. And so Paul now writes in these last days of his life, he writes these letters, and especially 2 Timothy, before he is executed, he writes these letters to this young man Timothy, giving him instruction. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 is a great chapter. You'll notice in the first part of it, he is talking and he gives us an indication that he's dealing with the children of God. He's dealing with sons and servants and people that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, there are five names in this second chapter of 2 Timothy that Christians are called by the Apostle Paul. In verse number 1, the child of God is called a son. I'm glad this morning I'm a child of God. I'm glad I'm a son of God. And I have that relationship as a father's son. And I follow him. He gives me direction as my father. In verse number 3, Paul talks about to be a good soldier. So not only are we sons, but we are soldiers in a battle. We are busy in the work of the Lord. And the Bible tells us in verse number 12, he says, "If we suffer." So we find Paul is talking about we. He puts us all in the same category. Not only as a son and a soldier, but also we are sufferers. And sometimes we must suffer. Sometimes we do suffer because of the call that God has put upon us. In verse number 15, where we began our reading, we find that we are told that we should be a student. We need to study the Word of God. Here's where we lack so many things, so many times. The reason that people of God get into trouble is because they're not a good student of God's Word. And the reason that the writer here goes on, and even down in verse number 24, 5, and 6, talks about those being taken captive at the will of the devil. And I believe part of that is because they have not studied the Word of God. They have not associated themselves with what God has given to us in the Scripture. So we're a student. We are to be very active in studying God's Word. And then in verse number 24, we are a servant. Thank God we can be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul here is dealing with the child of God. He's not dealing with the lost. He's dealing with the child of God, dealing with the Christian. He's dealing with and telling Timothy, here's what you're going to be facing. Here's the type of people that are before you. But in verse number 20 is the verse I want us to really key in on and look at it this morning. It says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor." So in a great house, I believe we can identify that as the house of God. In a great house, there are Christians in that house. There are some that are soldiers. There are some that are sons. There are some that are actively suffering. There are some that study. There are many that are servants of God. And we have different aspects of the children of the Lord. And he says, in a great house, there are vessels. And he gives us four different kinds of vessels. He says there's vessels of gold, there's vessels of silver, there's vessels of wood, and there's vessels of earth or clay. Now, I usually don't preach by illustration, but I'm going to try this morning to illustrate to you something that I hope would be good for us as we look at these things. Now, we're going to say this is a golden vessel. It's far from gold, but it's gold represents what? A whole lot of price. I better set it down, because I have found out there's a whole lot of price on that. And then he says that there are vessels that are silver, or they're less expensive. They're less valuable in what they are. And so we put this one down here to represent still very expensive. These are from from the late 1800s. And so just the age of them would make them valuable and expensive. And then he talks about that there's a wooden vessel. That doesn't look too much good toward this, does it? And then there's an earthen vessel or a clay pot. Now these four representations here, I sort of want us to key in on what he says here in the latter part of verse number 20, some to honor, some to dishonor. Now, you and I, with the human eye, we would look at these first two vessels here. And by the way, a vessel is just a utensil. It's just a mechanism that you can carry something in that. Every one of these, you could carry something in these vessels. And so we have the gold, we have the silver, we have the wood, and we have the clay, or the earthen vessel. And these are useful in their own place, and some to honor, some to dishonor. Now, with our eyes, what would we say here was the most honorable of all of those? What two would be the honorable? That's those two on on your right, my left. Those are precious, they are valuable. There's a price that is on them. And so, in our thinking, that those would be the honorable vessels. And then there are those vessels that are dishonorable, or they're not worth a whole lot. You could take this here, and if I throw it on the floor, it would break and scatter. We'd clean it up and throw it away and not think much about it. You take that bowl there that's wood. You could take a hammer to it and you could break it apart. wouldn't think too much about it because it's not worth a whole lot. But I want us to look at these four things this morning and maybe try to figure out what makes a vessel honorable. What makes a vessel usable and workable in the work of the Lord? Now we know, turn if you would with me, let me get this verse to you, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. If you would turn there and I'll wait for you so we can read this together. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And let's look up in verse number 3 to begin with. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now notice verse 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not in us." Now here the Apostle Paul, again writing to a different group, but writing under the same inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he uses the words earthen vessel, and he says it's the excellence that we might show the excellency of Christ, that we might show what is good of the Lord. And he uses the term earthen vessel. And we have this treasure. This doesn't look much like a treasure, does it? This wouldn't be priced. You can go down here at Walmart and you can find these clay pots, and they're not very expensive to buy. And so there's no preciousness about that. There's no treasure about that. Not until the Lord gets involved in the life of an individual. You see, you and I this morning, we are but earth. We understand that we came from the earth, and we will go back to the earth when the breath leaves our body and they place us in the cold earth. We'll go back to the dust, and we're just an earthen vessel. But in the earthen vessel of the child of God that's a Christian, we can show forth the excellent things of our God. And here we find that Paul tells us that there are the treasures of God that can be found in an earthen vessel. I want us to think this morning how that clay pot might be more valuable than this one on the left, and how that it could be more precious, and how it could be more valuable. Maybe not in the eyes of the world, maybe not in the eyes of the collector, maybe not in the eyes of individuals. If I was to ask you this morning, out of all four of these, which one would you pick for the most beautiful, for the prettiest? Well, I think surely I'm not much different than you. I would pick this first one here that represents the vessel of gold. It's the most precious. It's the most costly. It's it's rare. There's not a whole lot of them. And so we would look at it and we'd say, "Why, my, I would take that. And oh, I like that other thing right beside it too. That other picture that shows an age and that shows a time era. And oh, but that little old wooden bowl and that old clay pot, what are they worth?" Well, there's some vessels to honor and there's some vessels to dishonor. Now let's notice back in 2 Timothy, let's read some verses here after this. And these verses really will tell you how you can become an honorable vessel, how that you can be something used of the Lord. Now remember, he's talking about a great house. In your house this morning, and we'll read here in just a moment, in your house and my house this morning, there are many, many vessels. There are some that we use every day, and if we break one, it doesn't matter a whole lot. There's some we use when company comes. There's some that we use when special occasion. And so we have different vessels in a great house. Now we understand that the Lord's church is a house built by God. I'm not talking about sticks and stones. I'm not talking about mortar and lights and electricity. I'm talking about the house of God. And he says, in a great house, there are many vessels. Every one of us in here this morning, we are a vessel of the Lord if we're saved. We are a child of God. We are a son. We are a servant. We are a soldier. We're a sufferer. We're a studier. We are the people of God, and we're the vessel of the Lord. And He has put us in a great house that we can honor Him. Now notice in verse number 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, and that word these refers back to what? Dishonor. If a person, if an individual will purge himself or cleanse himself from those that are dishonorable, the word dishonor there means to be disgraced or vile or shameful. You know, it'd be a shame this morning if we set a table and we, on that table, we put that clay pot and that wooden bowl right there between them. Who would set a table like that? Who would take a clay pot and put on a table with maybe a beautiful flower and have it sitting beside these things that are precious? We probably wouldn't do that. Now, I might, but it doesn't mean a whole lot sometimes. But for a person that understands and knows, you don't mix the two. And here the Lord tells us in verse number 21 that if a man therefore purge himself from these, those dishonorable vessels. Oh, by the way, it may be a surprise to us. It may be shocking to us, but within the great house, there are dishonorable vessels. There are those that do not serve God as they should. There are those that bring dishonor to the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying they're saved or lost, but they're in the great house. And they bring dishonor. And Paul says here, if a man therefore purge himself from these dishonorable ones, he shall be a vessel unto honor. So really what he's talking about here is it's a word that a lot of people don't like, but it is the idea of separation. To get away from the dishonorable. There are sometimes people that are dishonorable around us. If we're not careful, their dishonorable attitudes and their ways will affect how we live and how we think and what we do and what we say. Brother Gallagher was talking this morning in Sunday school about how that all of us have, we have abilities to influence other folks. And I'll tell you what, influence is there. Influence for good and influence for bad. And so Paul tells here Timothy, he said, if you want to be an honorable vessel, then you purge yourself from those that are dishonorable. You purge yourself away from those that maybe are not bringing honor to the Lord. And sometimes we have all fallen into that category, haven't we? We've all fallen into the category that I'm not honoring the Lord. I'm not serving God. I'm not living for God like I should. I'm not doing what I should. But I'm away from God. And so we fall into that category of a dishonorable vessel. So he says, you want to be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, I don't know of a Christian, I don't know of a child of God anywhere, that when we read that verse, we would say, boy, I want to be prepared. I want to be an honorable vessel. Maybe not what the world looks at and says is pretty and good, but we are a vessel of God. We are an earthen vessel. We're just like that clay pot that doesn't mount a whole lot until God gets involved in our life, until the Lord comes in and moves upon us and we follow His direction for our life. Then we become, and then we start adding honor and helping us to serve Him. And He tells us in verse number 22 through 25 how that we become a useful vessel, how some things that we avoid, and there's some things even above in those earlier verses that we did not use. It teaches us and tells us how that we can be an honorable person. He tells us in verse number 22, flee also useful lust. Timothy, you're a young man. Just do away with the youthful lust, that desire that is within the heart of a young man or a young lady, those things to try and to do. Timothy, flee from that. Stay away from that and you'll become an honorable vessel. He says also, must not strive, must be gentle to all men, apt to teach. And you're not going to be able to teach unless you study. That all goes back to verse number 15. To be patient. Oh, my goodness, how many times I have to have that attitude of patience in my life. And I'm sure all of us this morning, we want it. We want it now. We think we're patient and we just can't stand it because we don't have what we want right now. We are very impatient people. But the Lord says if you're going to be used of God, you've got to be patient. If you're going to be a servant of God, if you're going to be whatever the call of God into your life, then you're going to have to learn to be patient. And here Paul tells Timothy in his youthfulness that he learned to be patient, to have meekness and instructing those that even oppose themselves. Just be an instructor of the Word of God, how to be right with God. He says here, if you follow this outline that God has given here in verse 22, 23, 24, and part of 25, he says there are those that oppose themselves and God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You see, it is God that grants not repentance here to salvation. It's God that gives us repentance that we acknowledge truth. That I've been wrong. And I've done things wrong. And I've followed wrong examples. And I've sometimes followed wrong people. Timothy, you flee that. You stay away from that so that there are those that are out there might see your example and that they will have repentance given to them from God and turn again to the truth. That they may recover themselves. He's talking about vessels here. Still talking about the same thing we read in verse number 20, that they, that's a personal word there, that these vessels might recover themselves. How are they going to do that? By repenting. Turning to the Lord and asking God. I'm not talking about salvation here. We're talking about children of the Lord. We're talking about sons. We're talking about servants. We're talking about all those, that list that I gave you first of all. These are people that know the Lord. And Paul says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Well, preacher, I'm saved. The devil don't bother me no more. Well, I don't have the same salvation you have then. He bothers me. He's a problem to me. He's a struggler in my heart. And Paul says, Timothy, if you want to be a vessel that is usable of God, even though it's an earthen vessel, it may not be something the world would desire, buy, or want, but if you want to be a servant of God, then, Timothy, you've got to follow the directions here because there are those that have been caught by the snare of the devil. And then it tells here that who are taken captive by him, and I've underlined those last three words of that chapter, by his will. The devil just has his way. Seems as though everything that happens, the devil just has his way in their life. Doesn't matter what they're doing, the devil has his way. Now we're quick to say, well, they're probably not saved anyway. I'm guilty. But I'm not the judge. In a big house, there's a lot of vessels. Some are honorable. But there are some that are taken captive by the will of the devil. There are Christians that are strong and adhere to the things of God. Then there are Christian saved people that are not as strong maybe as I am. They maybe haven't climbed the ladder of spirituality as much as you have or I have. And it's easy for us to look down and say, well, they ought to know better than that. It may be because they're not watching the right people. It may be because they're being influenced by the dishonorable people. The dishonorable, the shameful, the neglectful child of God. How are you going to be useful? How are you going to be a servant of the Lord? I thought I had this all fixed this morning. I just kept writing and writing and writing. How are you going to keep on serving? How are you going to start serving God? How are you going to be right with God? How do you want to be a honorable clay pot? Because that's all we are. Agreed? That's all we are. There's no beauty. There's no value. Somebody years ago took the chemicals and the elements that's in the human body and said that the body was worth about $1.67. That's been a few years ago. We might be worth $1.80 now. Maybe two. We're not worth a whole lot. We don't have a whole lot of value until the Holy Spirit moves in. Praise the Lord. Until He comes into our heart and we fall on our face before God and realize, I'm lost. I need God. I need the Lord. I need what He has to offer me. And so therefore, all of a sudden, that clay pot has become a earthen vessel that can be usable for the Lord if He has the right instruction, if she has the right people around them. We can be an honorable individual. Now, I want us to look at four or five things and we'll be done. Introduction a lot longer than the message. None of us would say through our human eyes, I'll take that wooden bowl before I will either one of those pitchers. We wouldn't do that. None of us would say, I believe I'll take that clay pot over there. That looks like something that I might could use. That other stuff, it's just pretty. None of us would do that. Humanly speaking, through our eyes, we'll take the gold and we'll take the silver. We'll take the glittery. We'll take that which catches our attention. And we'll throw the clay pot and the wooden bowl aside. Now I want us to notice some things that we can do to be an honorable clay pot. That we'd be an honorable vessel that the Lord tells us, as we read there in Corinthians, that we're just an earthen vessel. Number one, I believe we, to be used of God, to be right with the Lord, to be useful for the Lord, I believe we need to walk with the Lord. Again, this is a part of that shunning the dishonorable. We need to walk with the Lord and have a walk with Him that nobody knows any better of His love for us than we do. And we get in His Word and we begin to find out what God wants us to do and what He wants us, the normal Christian. Sometimes we use that word normal Christian and we use it as somebody that doesn't serve God. That's not the normal Christian. The normal Christian is one that follows and walks with God and serves God, lives for God. That ought to be the norm as a child of God. But we have so belittled normality that we, well, they're just doing what everybody else does. I guess it's okay. Well, they're just living like the world. That's the problem. They're living like the dishonorable ones. They're doing what they ought not to do. They're being influenced by that which is wrong. And Paul says, we need to flee that. Paul says, if you want to be an honorable vessel, a vessel that's with honor, then purge yourself from those things and those ones. Walk with God. It should be a faithful walk. It will be a fruitful walk. And if we walk with God, I believe it will be a friendly walk. The Bible says we ought to be friendly. If we're going to have friends. A lot of folks say, well, I don't have many friends, and I can understand why. All you got to do is talk to them a little bit. You know why they don't have friends. All you got to do is watch their facial expressions a little bit. You'll understand why they can say, I don't have any friends. The Scripture says if we're going to have friends, we must show ourselves what? Friendly. To be a child of God that's friendly and serving and walking and doing the things that God would have us to do. It ought to be a faithful walk. Therefore, my beloved brethren, Paul says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Everything we do for God, none of it is in vain. I'm glad, thank God, He keeps a good tally. He knows how to reward. He knows how to give dividends. He knows how to help us when we need it. He knows how to undergird us and lift us up when we have fallen. He knows how to handle every situation that we have if we walk with Him as a child of God, to be a good vessel for the Lord. The second thing I thought of, how that we can be right, a good vessel, And I almost shun using the word because of so much misuse of it today. But we need to be a worshiping person. I'm talking about biblical worship. I'm not talking about worship 2014 definition. I'm talking about worshiping God. When Abraham and Isaac went up the mountain, he told those three that went with him, he said, you tarry here, I and the lad, we're going to go up and we're going to worship. Well, I'll guarantee you their worship wasn't like the worship you see in most churches today. I'll guarantee you their worship was different because Abraham knew in his heart that God had put a special task in his life, that he was going to offer his only son. And I doubt very seriously that Abraham was running across the stage doing a jig, doing a dance, call it worship. I and the lad, we're going to go worship. What great hope he had in his words, he said, but we will come again. Abraham knew in his heart. And the book, I believe it's Hebrews, it tells us that if God had permitted Abraham to kill his son, Abraham believed God would raise him from the dead. That's how much Abraham believed God. No wonder the Scripture says, is accounted unto him for righteousness, his faith. And so we need to be worshiping the Lord scripturally and spiritually. Sometimes even sacrificially. Sometimes we need to worship God when there's nobody around, then it's okay to worship God. Sometimes when people are around, just worship the Lord. Get your mind on Christ. Get your mind on spiritual things. And I know the world comes at us from every direction, every avenue in which we live, the world bombards us, but God tells us to keep our heart and mind stayed upon Him. To worship Him. Oh, and by the way, this is not worship service. This is preaching service. There's a difference. Well, what time is your worship service? I don't know. I know what time preaching is. I know what time Sunday school is. I know what time tonight is. I know what time Wednesday is. But I don't know what time worship is. Sometimes it just happens. It's not scheduled. It just happens. Boy, I like it. We need to learn to worship the Lord. To have a freeness to express our love to Christ. To worship Him. If we're going to be a vessel of honor that's in an earthen vessel, we need to be a person that, as Isaiah said, when the question was asked, whom shall I send? Who will go? And Isaiah said, here I am. Here I am. Isaiah said, I'm available. I'll work for you. I'll do what needs to be done. I'm willing. I'm ready. I'll do. I'll go. I'll say. I'll be whatever God wants me to be. That's how that vessel can become a very honorable vessel. To be willing. There's a lot of people in the big house. And some of them are not willing. There's a lot of vessels in the big house that do not worship the Lord, other than when they think it's time to do it out of a habit. Worship should be a habit for the child of God, but it should not be a habit that we just do it whenever we have set to do. Sometimes God floods your soul and you just have to worship Him. Sometimes the Lord comes on the scene. Even when you're driving a car, something said or something done, you hear something, you think something, all of a sudden God comes on the scene. And you just worship the Lord. To be willing to stand for God. To be willing to, even if we have to, as Paul tells Timothy, he says, I have, in verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble. As an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the Word of God is not bound. Paul says, I suffer even being bound and in bondage. He said, but the Word that I speak, the Word that I preach is not bound. It goes forth. It continues on. Even if we have to suffer, we ought to be willing. Even if we have to separate ourselves from certain things that we would like and desire, if it means for us to be right with God and to be an honorable vessel for the Lord, then we just need to separate from it. Just get away from it. Get away from the dishonorable things and serve the Lord with all the ability that we have. Something that we've gotten away from in our churches. I think another thing that would help us to be a honorable vessel. The Bible says in Psalm 126, verse 6, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." There's not a whole lot of tears anymore. Sometimes we think, oh, tears show that I'm weak. Tears show that I'm not as strong, especially we men. We don't want that tear gate open because people think we're pansies or we're not strong. The Lord says that we can cry. The Lord says it's all right to cry. The Lord says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, brokenhearted, burdened souls, realizing that what I have is truth and I need to give it to them because they're going to die one day without God." We're going to be a valuable, honorable, earthen vessel. We need to learn how to cry. We need to learn maybe we just need to learn again to let my emotions. And I'm not an emotional type person that much, especially in preaching, but sometimes emotions are important. And when God opens the floodgate, you better let it go. I went through a period in my ministry that I told God I didn't want to cry anymore. And buddy, it dried up. And I was miserable. And I said, "Okay, God, you answered that prayer. Would you please give my tears back? And I don't have any problem. I have no problem crying in front of somebody because I know it's an expression of my heart. It comes from God. He that goeth forth and weepeth." I think the world around us needs to see some compassion. If we're going to be honorable, if we're going to be used of God, if we're going to be a servant of the Lord, if we're going to be a son, then we need to not necessarily care about looking like that, but we need to be like that, used of God. In a big house, a lot of vessels. If we're going to live for God, and if we're going to serve the Lord, if we're going to be a vessel that God desires, we need to cry. We need to have compassion. I read somewhere, compassion is me feeling your hurt in my heart. Pretty good. That's me feeling how you feel. Compassion. The Bible says the Lord was moved with compassion. When He saw them as a sheep, as a household, of having no shepherd, He looked over the people of Israel, and the Bible says He moved with compassion, even to the point of weeping. And so if our Lord could weep, I think we can weep. If our Lord could have compassion, I think we ought to have compassion. And then you can never do anything for God, never be the right kind of vessel unless you're willing to work, to be a worker. The Bible says, Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship. Workmanship, we know what that is. People that do things have workmanship. You can identify what they do. Somebody that knows about glassware knows that workmanship. They know that. Brother Jay would build some things out of wood. That's workmanship. Brother Donnie back there, he can build anything he wants to out of wood. Beautiful. It's workmanship. Others can do the same thing. We are His workmanship. That means He's worked on us. We are His altogether, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's why God's worked in my heart, so that I can do good works. Somebody said, "Oh, we Baptists, we don't believe in good works." Yeah, tell me about it. We live it that way for sure. But the Bible says we are created in Christ unto what? Good works. to honor the Lord, to serve Him, to be a vessel fit for the Master's use. It says, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. Good works. Second Timothy 1:9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. And notice that. We're not saved by our works. He's called us. He's saved us. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which He has given us in Christ before the world began. We have a call of God to work the good work. To be a vessel in a big house. There's a lot of vessels. You can go over in the gymnasium, you're going to find some vessels. There's glasses, there's cups, there's bowls. All those things are vessels. Some are not worth. Some are just there. But even those that are not very valuable as far as the world is concerned, you know what? They have their place. They're usable. God doesn't necessarily care if we look like that piece of glass. But God does want us as a clay pot to be usable and workable and spreading the message to whosoever will. Let him come. Drink of the water of life freely. Paul says, Timothy, you're dealing with a big, big house. You're dealing with some people. And in that group of people, there are vessels that are honorable. They're like gold. They're like silver. And there are folks in that place that are like wood. And they're like clay pots. He said, but now there's some of them that are honorable. Isn't it interesting? Paul didn't distinguish what was honorable and dishonorable. He didn't say this here was honorable. He just said there's some that's honorable. That means there's some of those that are honorable. Some of those are honorable. Some are honorable, he said, but also there's some that are dishonorable. He didn't, again, he didn't distinguish because there are some of those. Oh, they may look good, but they're dishonorable. They may perform a service, but they're dishonorable. They're not doing what they should do because they're all in the big house. Timothy, if you want to be an honorable vessel, flee those. Attach yourself to those and you'll be honorable. May God help us this morning to not be that dishonorable person. Really and truly, I think Grace Baptist Church is full of honorable people. I think we have some great people. I think we have some of the best people in this country. And may God help us to attach ourselves to folks that are honorable in the work of God and to be what we should be for Him. Because in a big house, there's all kinds. And those that are not as honorable maybe as they should be, then Timothy, flee your youthful lust so that you can help them. Timothy, be meek so you can help them. We can go through the list. Timothy, teach them. Be gentle with them. Oh, may the Lord help us to understand. Sometimes we have to deal gently with folks. If you want to have the right, if you want to help them, don't have those foolish questions. They just gender strife. Don't discuss and cuss and discuss and all these other things. Just serve God. Flee those desires of the youth that would have you say, well, I'll tell you this is how it is. Yeah, we've all been there. Timothy, don't do that. Because there's some dishonorable vessels in the big house that God says, I want to be honorable. Teach them, guide them, train them. He says, no man worth entangle himself in the affairs of this world that he may please him who chosen him to be a soldier. It's a battle. it's a struggle. And may God help us as an individual to commit ourselves, whether we young, middle-aged, old, whoever. May God help us to determine and commit our ways that this old clay pot is not worth very much. God might let us be an honorable vessel for Him. Not that the world would see my beauty, but the world would see Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let's stand together this morning.